Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. So Russia has been sanctioned by all of the Western world. Everybody is now doing all they can to reduce those purchases and get to the point where they're not buying anything from Russia. So Russia is going to lose all of the massive amount of revenue that it's been taking for the last 20 years. And the key question is, can Russia simply pivot and make all the sales go to China and India and have no impact on their economy? And supporters of Russia say that it will be very easy to do that, that China and India are the two biggest countries in the world from a population point of view. They're doing deals with Russia. They don't need the rest of the Western world. And actually, we will see a new global economy emerging. Now, obviously, the Western world will not be very happy if that situation does play out. And what we've seen in other situations for other sanctioned countries, such as Venezuela, Iran, and Iraq, is that the Western world operate what's called secondary sanctions. So they will say to trading partners, we have sanctioned this country and we don't want you to do any trade with them either. Otherwise, we will apply the same sanctions against you. And so the key question here is, how important is the Western world to India and China? Are they prepared to risk their relationship and their exports with the Western world in exchange for doing more business with Russia? So in today's episode, we're going to have a look at the level of exports between India, China, Russia, and the Western world, and evaluate how big a risk it is for those countries to do more business with Russia at the potential expense of losing the markets that they're exporting to in the Western world. And then once we've been through the data, I'll give you my summary as to what I think is likely to happen over the course of the next 3 to 6 months with regards to the sanctions and the likelihood of that increased level of trade between India, China, and Russia. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters so you can skip over stuff if you want to. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube, Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. I'd just like to say quickly, thank you very much to anybody who has sent me a Super Thanks or Buy Me a Coffee or has signed up on the membership or the Patreon. I really appreciate it. The support really helps me. It's quite tricky making these videos. Obviously, there's a lot of volume of them, so I'm constantly at it. And it's really helpful when I see one of those things coming through. This table shows the breakdown by country of all of the exports from Russia during 2021. And what I want to do here is have a look at how important China and India were to Russia in 2021 compared with all of the Western world. So you can see that China was already the largest export market for Russia and equated to around $69 billion worth of trade. And this is not really a surprise because China is the largest country in the world by population and the second largest economy in the world. And this also makes sense when you consider the fact that the USA, which is the largest economy in the world, obviously has some political issues with Russia, and also the US produces a lot of its own energy, so it doesn't need to buy in large volumes of Russian oil and gas and coal. Now, if you scroll all the way down to number 15 on this list, you'll see that's where India is located. And in 2021, Russia exported around $9 billion worth of products to India. And once again, this makes sense because India is predominantly buying in fuel. It buys in oil and coal and food items. And from a geographical perspective, Russia is a long way from India, and therefore the transport costs make the deals with Russia less attractive. And historically, India have bought a lot more oil and coal from countries that are located closer. So in 2021, the total amount of exports from Russia to China and India equated to around $78 billion. So now let's have a look at the countries that Russia has deemed to be unfriendly. So these are the countries that are partaking in the sanctions and have made statements that they no longer want to do any business with Russia. In 2021, the Netherlands was actually the second largest export market for Russia. And the vast majority of this trade relates to oil because the Netherlands operates as a hub. It buys in oil products for countries like Russia, refines them, and then sells them on to other markets. So this $42 billion of trade doesn't relate to consumption within the Netherlands. This is predominantly a trading issue. Germany is the next largest unfriendly country on the list, and in 2021 equated to around $30 billion worth of trade. And if you follow the channel, you'll be aware that Germany has been buying large quantities of natural gas from Russia. There is a pipeline called Nord Stream 2 that connects the two countries, and Germany has a high reliance on natural gas for the production of electricity, and the population in Germany also use natural gas for heating and cooking. Turkey has a special relationship with Russia. I recently posted a video talking about the fact that the two presidents had a recent meeting and have agreed that they will do more trade together. So Turkey has been sitting on the fence throughout the whole Ukraine war. They have relationship with both Russia and Ukraine, and they've managed to stay in that middle neutral ground. And because of this special relationship, they were able to help broker the deal to release some of the grain that was being held up at Ukrainian ports. But Turkey is not partaking in the sanctions, and therefore I won't include them in the list of unfriendly countries. Belarus has a land border with Russia and has a very close relationship. At the start of the war, Belarus was highly criticised for allowing Russia to use its land to enter Ukraine in an attempt to capture Kyiv. And as a result of this, Belarus has been sanctioned alongside Russia. So Belarus is not partaking in the sanctions against Russia, and I'll exclude them from this analysis. The United Kingdom is the next unfriendly nation on the list and did around $22 billion worth of trade with Russia in 21. Italy did around $19 billion. Kazakhstan and the United States both around $18 billion. South Korea and Poland both did around $17 billion. Japan, $11 billion. France and Finland both around $10 billion. Belgium, $9 billion. Ukraine, $8 billion. And Slovakia, $5 billion. So when you add up the total amount of Russian revenue to the unfriendly nations on this list, it equates to over $220 billion in 2021, which is almost three times the amount of trade that was done between India, China, and Russia in the same year. Now, obviously, this table only includes the largest countries. We've cut off at $5 billion as the minimum amount that we're showing on this chart. But there are lots of countries missing from this list who are doing $1, $2, $3, $4 billion worth of trade. So it's likely that the total amount of trade with the Western world is probably above $250 billion. So the big question here is it possible for Russia to increase the amount of trade with those two countries by $250 billion to replace all of the lost trade from the unfriendly nations? So let's have a look at the situation with regards to China first. This table shows Chinese imports in 2021 broken down by destination country. You can see that number one on the list was South Korea with around 9%. Japan came in at number two with about 8%. The USA number three with around 7%, Australia number four, and next on the list is Germany with around 5%. And if we scroll down the list, you can see that Russia comes in at number 10. Now, in order to answer the question of whether or not it's feasible for Russia to increase the amount of exports to India and China by more than $250 billion, we need to have a look at what China is importing. And this table shows the breakdown of what China is actually buying in. And you can see that the largest single category is electrical electronic equipment, which equates to around 25%. Mineral fuels, oils and distillation products comes in at 15%. So that does relate directly to the sort of thing that Russia could be importing to China. Ores, slag and ash equates to 10%, which again could be some of the imports from Russia. Machinery, nuclear reactors and boilers are 9%. Optical photo technical medical apparatus 4%, vehicles 3% and organic chemicals 2%. In terms of the total value of those imports, electrical and electronic equipment equates to around $668 billion. Mineral fuels, oil distillation products $400 billion, ores, slag and ash $272 billion. The two main exports that Russia has are oil and gas. So the value that we're looking at here from the Chinese perspective is around $400 billion. So to increase the amount of trade that Russia is doing with China and India by $250 billion would take up a massive percentage of the total amount that China is buying in. Now, obviously, there is some room for increase, and Russia has been increasing the amount of oil that it is exporting to China, but not to the extent of being able to increase by around $200 billion. It's unlikely that China would want to have that level of exposure to Russia, and also there are the geographical issues of actually getting the product delivered to the right places. Looking at the situation for India, this table shows the level of imports in 2021. You can see that India's largest trading partner is China, which accounted for around 16%, followed by the UAE, which is about 8%, the United States, 7%, and Switzerland, Saudi Arabia and Iraq, who came in all with around 5% each. In terms of the value of those exports, Chinese products related to around $87 billion, UAE $43 billion, United States $41 billion, Switzerland $29 billion, Saudi Arabia $28 billion and Iraq $27 billion. If we look at the categories that India is importing, you can see that mineral fuels, oils, distillation products are the largest single category, equating to around 30%. Followed by pearls, precious stones, metals and coins, which makes up 15%, electrical, electronic equipment, 10%, machinery, nuclear reactors and boilers 8%, and organic chemicals 5%. In terms of the amounts involved, in 2021, India paid around $170 billion for mineral fuels, oils and distillation products, $88 billion for pearls and precious stones, $57 billion for electrical electronic equipment, $48 billion for machinery, and $27 billion for organic chemicals. So once again, looking at the products that Russia is aiming to export to India, mineral fuels, oil and distillation products is the main category, and in 2021, the total amount paid was $170 billion. The amount of exports that Russia achieved to India in 21 was around $9 billion. So in order to get anywhere close to replacing the revenue that it's going to lose from the unfriendly nations, Russia is going to have to take a huge percentage of the Indian market to be able to make up that difference. This table shows the destination of Chinese exports in 2021. The United States was the largest single market for China, representing around 18% of all products, followed by Hong Kong, which was 11%, Japan, which came in about 5%, South Korea, also around 5%, Vietnam, 4%, Germany, 3.5%, and the Netherlands, 3%. Russia was the 12th largest export market for China and equated to around 2% of all exports. In terms of the monetary value, if I pick out the countries that are deemed to be unfriendly by Russia, because the point that I'm trying to make here is that the risk that China has is that if it does a lot more business with Russia, then it potentially could lose some of the trade that it's doing with the unfriendly nations, because if the secondary sanctions are then applied to China, they won't be able to do any of that business. And this is the key trading risk. This is the biggest economic decision that China will have to make. Are they wanting to get into bed with Russia at the expense of all these potential exports? So if we look at the unfriendly nations, the United States is number one with $577 billion worth of revenue in 21 for China. Japan was the second largest unfriendly nation, equated to $166 billion. South Korea, $149 billion. Germany, $115 billion. The Netherlands, $102 billion. United Kingdom, $87 billion. Australia, $66 billion. Canada, $51 billion, France, $46 billion, Italy, $44 billion, Poland, $37 billion, Spain, $36 billion, and Belgium, $30 billion. In total, the countries we've just listed here equated to $1.5 trillion worth of exports for China. And obviously, this doesn't include a myriad of other countries who are also party to the sanctions. So this really puts into perspective the amount of trade that China has with all of these unfriendly nations, and the risk that they would be running if they decided that they wanted to ramp up the amount of business that they're doing with Russia. This chart shows Indian exports in 2021 broken out by country. You can see that the largest market was the United States at 18%, followed by the UAE around 7%, China 6%, Bangladesh 4%, Hong Kong 3%, and Singapore, United Kingdom and Netherlands all also around 3%. In terms of the value of that trade, again, I'll just pick out the unfriendly nations. The United States was around $72 billion. United Kingdom, Netherlands and Germany around $10 billion each. Belgium, $9 billion. Italy, $8 billion. Australia, $7 billion. And France and Japan around $6 billion each. So the total amount for all of these countries is around $130 billion. So it's much smaller than it is for China. But India exports far less than China does. China is the biggest exporter in the world. So relative to the Indian economy, this is a meaningful amount of trade. And the USA is the number one trading partner for both China and India. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I think it's really interesting to look at the amount of trade that's going on between all of the different countries involved in this conundrum. And this goes back to what I've been saying on many other videos. The whole world is interrelated. There's an interconnectivity that you can't get away from. And this interconnectivity has an implication for all political decisions. So what's going on right now in Ukraine and the sanctions that have come as a result of that war is starting to have an impact on multi-trading relations. And China and India at the moment are happy to buy discounted products from Russia because Russia needs to find a home for all of its oil. If you're producing large amounts of oil, you need to keep selling it. The last thing that you want to do is to cap off your wells because you've got nowhere for that oil to go. So Russia's been desperate to find new markets to keep the wells flowing. And at the moment, because the EU is still buying a lot of energy products from Russia, it's unable to apply any secondary sanctions against China and India. So this is a great period for both of those countries. But the big question is, once we get to the point where the Western world is ready to start turning the screw on those secondary sanctions, What will China and India do? And what I wanted to do is go through the level of trade that they're doing with all of these unfriendly nations, because that's really the bottom line here. If all the unfriendly nations team together and say to India and China, we will not do any further trade with you if you're doing business with Russia, then that puts a huge dent in both of their economies. As I've just shown you, there is no way that China or India would want to lose that trade. Yes, they're taking the oil right now because it's offered at a discount, but if buying that oil in the future meant that they were going to lose business and effectively put their economies into a massive recession, then they would not want to do that, because that oil is available elsewhere. You can still buy oil without having to buy it from Russia. So there are lots and lots of options for India and China. They want the best deal, and that's the best deal at the moment from Russia. But if that deal has negative consequences for their economy, then they won't want to do those deals in the future. And when you look at it from Russia's point of view, they've got limited options. They're having to go to India and China because they're the two biggest markets and they're not party to the sanctions. If both of those countries stop buying from Russia, Russia is in a very sticky situation, probably quite literally, because they will have oil all over the place with nowhere for it to go. And that will be an unmitigated disaster for the Russian oil business if it can't find anywhere to keep selling into and has to cap off the wells. That would be catastrophic for those oil fields. So this question of whether or not India and China will buy massive quantities from Russia is really critical to the future of Russia's economy. India and China can live without Russia. They don't need Russia's oil. They want to buy it if it's cheap, but if it's going to cause them a problem, they won't buy it. Russia needs India and China far more. And if it can't sell into those markets, its economy will be absolutely devastated. It will be a total disaster for Russia. And I think what I've shown in these figures is that there is a lot of leverage that the Western world will apply against India and China if they do decide that they're looking to increase the amount of business they're doing with Russia in the long term. So from my point of view, I don't think that India and China will do that. I think Russia's markets will start diminishing and that they will have trouble selling the volumes that they've had. I don't think the situation will be as extreme as what we've seen in Venezuela, where the oil industry is completely shot. But I do think Russia will lose its position as being one of the biggest exporters globally. And the fact that they've got the sanctions against them will be massively detrimental to the economy. So hopefully you found today's video useful, informative and educational. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.